Romans chapter 7 in just a minute. I do appreciate what was said during prayer and praying for the college students, which within itself is important. Thank you for doing that. But, you know, in that prayer, he mentioned that, believe it or not, even on a Christian college campus, there can be trouble. And can I say that even in the chairs at Cross Point Baptist Church, there can be trouble? Why is that? Because we have a flesh, and we're going to look at that tonight. Kind of the middle part of the message. I preached the end of the message Sunday night, but I want to challenge us with this thought. And when we started a few weeks ago, the two choices that we all have, there are two life motivations and two life choices that we all face. And it all comes from our propensity to sin. It comes from our sin nature. And we established that and talked about that. But it's either pleasing flesh, pleasing ourselves, or pleasing God. And let me explain, because sometimes when we say pleasing self, we may think, okay, does that mean I can't do anything and receive any pleasure for it? That's not the point. When we talk about pleasing self, we're talking about in a sinful way or a sinful manner, fulfilling my selfish desires, fulfilling my lustful flesh, my lustful desires. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you cannot enjoy life. You cannot enjoy pleasures that God, there are things that God naturally gives us. And so please understand, we're not talking about, well, I'm either going to be miserable or I'm going to please serve God. That's not the point. It's not the choice. The choice is my flesh bent, and we'll look at that tonight, pleasing my flesh, my sinful nature, or pleasing God. That is the spiritual side of my life. And so we're going to look at tonight, when we get the slides, what is meant by the word spiritual? That is not self-righteousness. That is not saying I'm spiritual and you're not. I'm spiritual because I dress a certain way, or I'm spiritual because I carry my Bible a certain way. I'm spiritual because I missed one less service than you did last week. And by the way, there are some people that think that. There's some people that live that. They live externalism. And Paul, and even in Romans 7, he talks about that. He doesn't discredit the law, but he talks about how the law is important because it is truth. But yet there's something that battles that, and that is my feelings, that is my emotion, that is my flesh. And so let's look at Romans chapter 7, a familiar portion of Scripture, just to establish what is meant by the word spiritual. So our first point, what is meant by the word spiritual? Well, our point is the things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with His character. That which has its basis or its origin with God and therefore in harmony with God's character. So anything outside of that, anything outside of me living in my flesh, that would be outside of the character of God. Let's see what Paul says about it. Let's start with verse number 14 of Romans chapter 7 and get in our minds as the Apostle Paul struggles with this thought process. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I, what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Already we see Paul is conflicted. In fact, some of us are confused trying even to figure that out as we read it, aren't we? Because Paul is, those things I should do, I don't. And those things that I don't do, I should. That would be the easiest way for me to understand it. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Verse 14. Now back to verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul's not giving him a pass. He's not saying, well, it's not me, it's my sin. Well, it is his sin nature. He's saying, it's the sin that dwells in me. It's the part of me that I am frustrated with. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. I don't do what I should. But the evil which I would not, the evil that I shouldn't do, that I do. Verse 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. His sin nature. Paul recognizes his sin nature. And tonight, we want to recognize, but then we want to get beyond recognition. So, I sin. So, I have a sin nature. So, I, in my flesh, am bent to do wrong. I am bent to be selfish. That's what started this whole thought process, is selfishness versus living in the Spirit. So the things I do and the things I say, is it either spirit controlled or is it flesh controlled? Verse 21, then I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man, he gets a perspective of himself that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What does he conclude? He has a sin nature. It is a struggle. This I find rest in and solace in. Not to excuse myself or to excuse you, but if the Apostle Paul struggled with his flesh and the battle, we ought not to be alarmed when we struggle with our flesh and we battle. It is a constant battle. I would rather a person say, I see my flesh bent. I know I have a problem. We're going to fix this with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. As opposed to a person says, hey, I'm good. Because there are a lot of people that are deceiving themselves. And Paul says, I'm far from deceived. I know what dwells in me, and there's no good thing. Now, not to be Danny the Downer here tonight, literally, but the point is, what do we do once we realize we have a flesh problem? Well, we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit to work through us. We allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our life. So what is meant by the word spiritual? First of all, we already established, and I wish we could get... We're just no go on the screens? No? Okay. Well, you'll have to imagine in your minds here in a little bit, okay? Sorry about that. Things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with his character. Secondly, men in Christ who walk as to please God. Let me just read Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, say this with me, you know, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Well, hey, I like that verse because I'm the spiritual, right? I can restore you. I see you're not walking with God and you're not doing right, so I'm self-proclaimed spiritual. That's not the point there. You know what that actually means? That word, ye which are spiritual, means non-carnal. Non-carnal. By the way, if you think you're helping somebody because you're more spiritual than them, trust me, you're carnal. Because you are being self, in a sense, righteous. You are not truly letting the Holy Spirit work through you. You are assuming a position. Far from what Paul just said, far from humility. And by the way, it wasn't a false humility. He really had a picture of who he was. So men in Christ who walk as to please God. What are they to do? Well, restore such a one. Here's the key. Look at that verse. Some of you have it memorized. Galatians 6:1. Spirit of what? Meekness. So who's spiritual? A person that's meek. Strength under control. Quiet spirit. What an example was Christ of meekness. Power under control. Power to do whatever he wanted to do, even physically. But yet knew his timing. In fact, he even told his mom, I'm paraphrasing, to his mother, it's not yet time. Power under control. The things that he could have done. Isn't it amazing the people around Jesus, like Peter, they tried to exhibit their power, but yet Christ always kept his hidden. His meekness. Power under control. So, restore in meekness. Also, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. Do a self-check. Where am I at? You know, a lot of people don't want to even approach another Christian and try to encourage them and help them because they know their own dirty character. And a lot of times they know that others know their character, and so we become hypocritical. And we know that people would see us that way, so sometimes we don't even want to approach and help other people. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or spiritual things with spiritual people. In other words, what is meant by the word spiritual? Those that truly are walking in a character that is Christ-like. And then we also see 1 Peter chapter 2, if you could turn there, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Go ahead and I'll let you turn. We'll wait for you. In verse number 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. So what else is meant by spiritual? We already have those whose origin is with God and in harmony with His character. Men in Christ who walk as to please God. And then we see in 1 Peter 2, 5. All of those who are Christ followers, those that believe in Jesus. 1 Peter 2, 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built of a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So those that know Christ, those that walk with Him, abide in Him, those are those that walk in the Spirit. Then we also see 1 Corinthians 10:31, a verse we all know. A person's actions and activities are God-directed. By that, I mean they are directed. The steps of a good man are ordered. They're directed by the Lord. Not only directed, but they are God-directed. In other words, they are directed toward God. Do what you do, is it directed toward God or is it directed toward flesh? Is your praise directed toward God or is it directed toward self? Is your conversation directed toward God or directed toward self? Is your living directed toward God or directed toward the flesh? Is your eye gate, the things you allow into your eyes, is it directed by the Holy Spirit working in you or is it directed by your flesh? The things you allow yourself to hear, things you allow yourself to say, are they directed by the flesh or are they directed by the Holy Spirit? See, that lets us know I am Spirit-led or I'm self-led or flesh-led. Because what am I to do? Everything, all my activities and actions are God-directed toward Him and by Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. So was my action Godward or selfward? Was my service Godward or selfward? Was my ability, my accomplishment, is it Godward or is it selfward? See, we quickly, I mentioned this the other night, we quickly give God credit when things don't go well, and we quickly give ourselves credit when things go our way. See, so how are we doing? Are we Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-directed? Do we recognize what we have does come from Him? Or do we take glory for ourselves? All to the glory of God. And then lastly, what is meant by spiritual? All that is produced and manifested in man by the work of the Spirit of God. The spiritual man, of course, is one that walks in the, this is not deep, one that walks in the what? Spirit. Of Galatians 5:16. This then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a great point to put into this verse. This is why I have to understand, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheth me. I can't live out, Galatians 5:16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I can't live that out if I can't do it through Christ. Because the only way I can do it is through Christ. I cannot do it through my own strength. If I do it through my own strength, no longer, and I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm trying to walk in the flesh. Can I tell you that's why so many of us struggle with growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because we're trying to grow in our own strength. We're trying to do it ourselves. And we have to trust the Lord to work it out in and through our lives. In Galatians 5:25, in the spirit of Galatians 5:25 also, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking is interesting. We've been going in a series, even though we interrupted most of the summer with the teens, series on walking. Some of us, maybe physically, we're not great at running, but yet we want to run through our life. We want the quick fix. We want the quick outcome. We want to everything to be achieved in a rapid way. Endurance that the Bible talks about. Running the race with endurance. So many times endurance isn't even a thought process for us as Christians because we want like the world expects, we want success. But we are to do it in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Following His steps. Following His guidance. Pastor mentioned Sunday morning about just trusting God for our lives. And that's something we all must do. So what I'd like to do, and if we have, let's pretend there's a screen on tonight, okay? And I'm really not bothered by this. It was just, I had on one side of the screen, on the left side would say selfish individual or pleasing self. So on one side it would say selfish or pleasing self. So if you're taking notes, you can do selfish or self-pleasing on one side of your paper. And then on the other side, I put Spirit-led individual or pleasing God. So you have selfish on one side and you have pleasing God on the other. Can you picture that? All right. I'll try to picture that. Selfish on one side, pleasing God on the other. Number one, under the selfish side or pleasing self. Number one, the selfish person allows his senses to dictate his choices. He allows his senses. He allows his emotions. Do you ever do something out of an emotion? Do you ever react out of an emotion? Do you ever respond? Do you knee-jerk? You ever just respond in a quick way? In the flesh? 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, and we're going to go through this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He allows his senses to dictate his choices. You cannot allow your emotions to control you. We cannot make the decisions of our life based on emotions. If I had to make a decision on emotion or make a decision after watching a Hallmark movie, it would not be good. I'm a man living in a woman's world when it comes to Hallmark movies. And my wife will look at me and she say, are you crying? I'm misting. I'm emotional. Especially if it's a surprise emotional ending that I wasn't ready. Why is that? Because we're emotional people. But there's certain times you ought not to. There's times as pastors we encourage people, during heavy times of emotion, let's not make that decision. Let's not make that rash emotional decision. A lot of times people make decisions out of anger. Oh, fine, we'll never do that again. And we make statements like that concerning our children, concerning even ministry or service. Maybe somebody's wronged us, we feel. And we make quick decisions out of emotion. So the flesh side does that. And on the spiritual side, he allows God's Spirit to dictate his decisions. Ephesians 5. verse, you know, 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. The point is, this is opposite of loving out of a pure heart. It's the opposite of self. It's the opposite of selfishness. So you make your choices and decisions not based upon your feelings, your emotions, and self. It's on the Spirit of God working through you. That's why we pray. That's why we're in God's Word. That's why we seek counsel. That's why we take time. When those decisions come in our life, we cannot make rapid emotional decisions. We have to trust, don't we, in the Lord? And say, okay, God, what's the Word of God say? How are you leading in my life? By the way, do you know that just because a door is open doesn't mean that's God's will? Do you know just because there's opportunity doesn't mean it's God's will? A lot of times people say, oh, there's a great opportunity. I understand there's nothing wrong with opportunity, but opportunity may be part of the big picture of God's will, but it's not the only measurement of God's will. We all have opportunities. We all have opportunities to do right things and good things, and also opportunities to do evil. So just because an opportunity comes along doesn't mean that's God's will. It's through prayer. It's through His Word. It's through wise counsel. It's through godly friends. It's through being where God wants you to be. I know this is really simple about what I'm about to say. Always find yourself doing the right thing, and always find yourself doing the right thing in the right place. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and it's always right to do the right thing. And sometimes, even when it comes to God's will, we get ahead. And so always make sure you're in the right spot, you're in the right place. Sometimes we want to run ahead. We want to excel. Nothing wrong with excelling. But sometimes we ought to find ourselves in a place of quiet and hearing the sweet or still small voice of God. So, on the selfish side, number one, we have allows his senses to dictate his choices. On the Spirit-led side, we have allows God's Spirit to dictate his choices or dictate his decisions. Number two, on the selfish side, the selfish person believes Satan's lies. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He believes Satan's lies. Well, I know that's what the pastor says, and I know the pastor's pretty adamant on it. I know the pastor stands up and is very boisterous, but you know what? I have my own thoughts, and I have my own decisions. I have my own choices, and it just doesn't feel right to me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that our salvation isn't based on feeling? Aren't you glad that the choices, decisions we make aren't based on whims? I mean, there are times that there are circumstances around us, we don't always feel the greatest. We don't always feel the best. And that's why our emotions cannot dictate. Well, when it comes to Satan's to truth, there are people that just can't deal with the truth, and they believe Satan's lies. And so under number two, on the Spirit-led side, the Spirit-led person believes God's Word and applies it to every area of his life. Take your Bibles, go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, again, a familiar portion of Scripture, probably should be to most of us. Psalm 19, I will not read all of Psalm 19. But let's start with verse number 8. Psalm 19, we're going to look at verse number 8. Dealing with the Word of God, Psalm 19 talks about the law of the Lord in verse 7. And then we look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Think about that. Speaking of eyes, what does Satan want to do with somebody's eyes? Anybody know? Blind them. Blind them. What does the Word of God do? Enlightens them. See, the Word of God enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. Opposite of what Satan is. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now look at verse 10. More to be what? Desired. Are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold. The sweetness, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The Spirit-led individual who wants to please God believes God's Word and applies it to every day of his life. I'm not saying he's a walking Bible, but he knows the truth and he makes application. So, on one side, number one, he allows, on the selfish side, allows his senses to dictate his choices. On the Spirit-led side, he allows God's Spirit to dictate his decisions. Number two, on the selfish side, he believes Satan's lies. And on the Spirit-led, pleasing God's side, he believes God's Word and applies it to every area of his life. Number three, on the selfish side, number three, it sounds good to me. What's not right about that? It sounds, there's no fact in that, it sounds what? Good to who? Me. It appeals to me. Appeals to my flesh. For all that is in the world, again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's the lust here, number three, sounds good to me. I put down behind that, it's the lust of the flesh. Real quick, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to Achan. No, remember Achan? Saw the goodly Babylonian garment. The lust of the eyes I saw. I took. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And then what did he do? He hid them in the tent. What's that? The pride of life. Look at his life. Look at that. All three of those. And you look at sin in your life and my life. If not all three, there's at least one of those that are part of the sin that you and I committed today. It's either lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in many cases, it's all three wrapped up into one. So Satan desires us with this thought process saying, hey, it sounds good to me. Somebody ever share something with you and they're telling you all about it and you're just like, it doesn't sound right. I'm not sure I'd do that. And they're, oh, this is great. It's a great idea. It's a great opportunity. You, I don't know. All of a sudden you feel wrong because you're skeptical, but it just doesn't sound right. But Satan not only wants to blind us, but he wants to deafen us to truth. And so then on the positive side, negative side, we have the pleasing self side. It sounds good to me. And then the positive side, what are our life's desires? There are three life's desires we're going to give you. The first one's in Matthew 22:37. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Life desire number one is love God. Love God. See, love of the flesh says, or the flesh side says, love flesh. Love my selfish desires. Please self. And God's side says, the spiritual side says, love God. Love God. It also says, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thou thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not the years, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. 1 Peter 1:15-17, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The conversation is our walk, our relationship with God, our daily walk, not just talking about our verbiage, our conversation, but our lifestyle. Be ye holy in your lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we have love God, and then secondly, under life's desires, we have love God, and then we have fear God. Fear God. Now that fear is not I am afraid, and I'm only going to serve Him because I'm afraid what's going to happen to me. That's not fear. It's an awe or an awesomeness of who God is. A respect. a respect of God, an awe of God. We've all seen things that we just went, wow, cool. Wow. Can't explain it. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? Try to explain it. And by the way, if you say it's a hole in the ground, it's a big ditch, come on. It's just a big ditch. It's bigger than a big ditch, okay? Okay, maybe as big as our potholes, but runs a close second, right? No, it's more than that. It is awesome. You stand in awe. You stand in awe of creation. And that's the picture here. We are to fear God. We are to be in awe of who God is. It's amazing. We get in awe of a lot of characters. Ever seen somebody when they meet somebody famous? They get all, they're in awe. Would to God we'd have the Spirit when it comes to a relationship with God. To be in awe. To be in awe of Him. So we're to love God, we're to fear God. And of course, First Peter 2:9 and then 1 Corinthians 10:31 that we've already talked about. We are to love God, we are to fear God, and then we're to glorify Him. So on one side of that point, oh, it sounds good to me, but the other side is, I love God, I fear God, and I glorify God. There's a pretty good 3-point outline of what I should live for and looking to for desire. Not desiring flesh, but desiring God, to love Him, to fear Him, and to glorify Him. Number 4 on our side. So number 3 was, it sounds good to me. And then number 3, opposite of that, if it pleases God, if life's desires, love God, fear God, glorify God. Number 4, on the pleasing self side or the selfish side. So we have, it allows his senses to dictate his choices. He believes Satan's lies. It sounds good to me. Number 4, it looks good to me. The lust of the eyes. It looks good to me. The deev looked pretty good. Lest we condemn Eve too quickly, there are a lot of things that we think look good that aren't. And our eye gates, all of us, men, women, teens are in here, our eyes. I'm not just talking when it becomes to lustful things, but I'm talking when it's somebody else has it and I really, really, really want it. Our eyes. We'd go somewhere when I was a little kid. We didn't go out a lot, but once in a while we did, and we'd order something, and my mom would say, I think your eyes were bigger than your what? Your belly, your stomach, yeah. In other words, you thought it looked good to you. You thought that you could handle it, but you really couldn't handle it. And like any good parent, my mom would say, well, you're going to clean up that plate whether you like it or not. So that explains the meatballs tonight. No, here's the point. Sometimes our eyes deceive us. And we think we can. Satan deceives us. But you can handle this. That person, that Christian, that person, they can't handle it, but you can. Listen, no, we can't. Because of our flesh can control us. It looks good to me, the lust of the eyes. So then on the pleasing God side concerning that, number 4, love. Turn to Romans 12. You don't have to, but I'm going to. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, that complete will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. In other words, I can handle this. No, you can't. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. Abhor that which is evil and do what? Cleave unto that which is good. Good. That picture of cleave. It's like in the flood waters. What do? You cleave to something that's going to salvage or save your life. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good. So the negative side, pleasing self, says it looks good to me. The Spirit-led side, pleasing God, says love what God loves and hate what God hates. And that would be the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that brings us to number five, the pride of life part. The negative side, it feels good to me. Back to our emotions. Back to our feelings. We cannot trust them. That's why we have to be careful asking the questions, well, how do you feel about that? Because a lot of times there's not a whole lot of truth in our feelings. The pride of life. And then the positive side of it feels good to me would be, no matter what I like, I must do, the verses we just read, I must do what God loves. I must do what God likes. I must present my body, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. By the way, if I do what God likes, can I tell you what I'm going to eventually like? What God loves, what God likes. See, the more I love God, the more I'm going to love what He loves. Same thing with God's Word, isn't it? The more I'm in God's Word, the more I'm going to do what? Love God. And the more I love God, the more I'm going to be where? In God's Word. It's a circle. And sometimes people say, well, I just don't have that desire for God. Are you in God's Word? Well, I just don't have a desire for God's Word. Do you love God? See, the two go hand in hand. Love God, you'll love His Word. If you love His Word, you'll love God. No matter what I like, that is not a negative. Well, I'll do it because that's what God wants. No. God's desire and God's will ought to be my will. As I'm in God's Word and I'm following Him, the Word of God becomes in my life. The Word of God is where I find His will. So it feels good to me, negative. Positive side, no matter what I like, I must do the will of God. I will love what God loves, and then I will hate what God hates. Sometimes we make sin choices and decisions, and even not to. Well, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that because I really know I shouldn't. I'm not going to do that because it's going to break the heart of a holy God. I'm not going to do that because my relationship with God is going to be separated. My relationship with God is not going to be right. That's why I don't react. That's why I act upon the truth of the Word of God. Because when I just react, then that's when we sin, and then we have to confess our sin, and we have to have a right walk and relationship. We mentioned that the other night with God. We have to fix that. No matter what I like, I must do what God loves and what God likes. And last comparison on the screen, number six. I think it is good for me. I think it is good for me. I know what the Bible says. I know what the pastor says. I know what truth says. I know what my friends say. I know what biblical counsel says. But you know what? I like what I'm about to do. I'm okay with it. And you know what I'll do? I'll just take whatever circumstances come. Those are sad, sad words. And those words are uttered by a lot of people. I'll take my chances. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What? God forbid. I think it's good for me. And by the way, the emphasis there is on the I and the me. I saw. I took. I hid. I got this. Stoned. Oh, sad part of that. A lot of sad parts of that story. Do you know one of the other sad parts? I think of this often. Did his cows sin? Did Achan's cows sin, yes or no? What happened to Achan's cows? Yeah, they're stoned. How about his wife? Well, I think she knew about it. I don't know. But did she take of the goodly Babylonish garment? Did she do all this? No. She's stoned. His kids, same thing. Sin does not just affect me. And I know you know this. But yet, the I and the me, so many times, this is what we do. It's just going to affect me. No, it's not. Just one more drink at the bar. It's just going to affect me. No, it's not. When you hit that other car, it's not going to just affect you. Right? Somebody's life's taken on eternity. I didn't mean to. But our sin affects other people. The consequences of our sin affects other people. So, number six, I think it's good for me. Emphasize on the I and me. And on the screen, number six, on the positive side, the emphasis is on God and others. Philippians 2:7-8, we mentioned this the other night. Christ made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion of man. What did he do? Humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The emphasis is on God, and the emphasis is on others. Say no to your flesh. Say no to self. What did Christ do? He said yes to his heavenly Father. And I'm glad he did, because in that, saying yes to his heavenly Father, he said yes to us as far as us accepting him as our personal Savior, because he took our sin to the cross for us. He was made flesh and made sin for us, who, the Bible says, knew no sin, because he was all about others, not himself. So we see comparisons. We see two sides. And we conclude with this. Spirituality, not self-acclaimed, but walking in the Spirit, it's not a fixed or an absolute condition. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It admits growth. Being a Spirit-filled believer admits growth in our life. As soon as we think there's an arrival or a plateau or we're okay, that's when our flesh takes over, right? It's a growth process. We're to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible uses the word, we're to increase. It's progressive, if we use that word. It's a growth process. Our walk with God, our Spirit-filled life is growing. It is constantly moving. Let me say this. If I don't see God, if I don't see God for who he is, and I don't see God for his holiness and his righteousness and his love and his mercy, if I don't see God for who he is, and if I'm not led by the Spirit, I will only see myself. And so when I go to make a decision, I'm just going to fulfill my flesh. When I go to click that on tonight, I'm just going to fulfill my flesh, because I don't see God the way I should see God. When I react in anger, I'm going to do it in my flesh, because I'm not going to see God like I should see God. When I spread a story, spread a lie, or plant a seed of doubt about somebody's goodness. I'm doing it in my flesh, and I'm not doing it seeing things through the eyes of a mighty and holy God. And on we can go with illustrations of put different scenarios or different things in there. If I yield to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, see, if I don't see God, I will only see my flesh. So what do? James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's what we preached the other night, preached humility. So how do we get past this? We humble ourselves. We have a humble spirit. We see ourselves truly as God sees us. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in His time or in due time. So, are we walking in the flesh, selfish, or are we walking in the Spirit of God, pleasing God, spiritual? Not self-acclaimed spirituality, not self-righteous, but truly being guided by God. And if we can, if you took notes and if you can picture those two things as we went down side by side, challenge yourself. And by the way, you cannot do this in yourself. None of us can. We only can do it through the power of God. I can do all things through Christ. Because Jesus Christ, because He went to that cross and suffered and died for me and for you and took my sin, that's how I can do it through Christ. Because He paid my penalty, and I trust Him for my salvation, and I can trust Him to live my Christian life. That's the only way I can do it. Too many times as believers, I can do this. I can get over this. I can do better next time. That's not where it's at. It's not in the power of persistence. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I trust you have the power of the Holy Spirit tonight in your life. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed.